to filling that baptistry and for you participating in the baptism of somebody you've walked with in their journey to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What do you say? Would you be a part of that? Well, I believe that is something God calls all of us believers to do, is to share our faith and proclaim that gospel, the difference He's made in our lives. So let's start working towards that. Let's get a date on the calendar and plan for a baptism day. And I don't know the timing of that will all happen. And it can't happen, though, if we're not willing to let God work through us. So begin, start searching for that person that God wants to use you to take His message to out to others. Well, we can be on a mountaintop 1 minute, and then we can be attacked with lies and trials and distractions from this fallen world the next. And we can just find ourselves in a dark valley. Have you ever found yourself caught in a whirlwind of doubt, feeling like you're standing on shaky ground when it comes to your faith? Doubt is not foreign to any believer. Doubt is a universal human experience. And even great heroes of faith wrestled with uncertainty at some point in their life. Today, we're going to journey with a familiar passage, encountering Thomas, commonly branded Doubting Thomas, whose story offers profound lessons and powerful encouragement. So from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, like Thomas, we sometimes struggle to believe until we see your hand at work. But in our questions, you meet us with grace and understanding, strengthening our faith through every doubt, that each question leads us deeper into the faith of your resurrected Son. May our journey with uncertainty to trust your glory in your name and bear witness to the power of your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, doubt often arises when the reality and contradictions contradicts our expectations. Thomas, like many Jews of his time, expected a conquering Messiah, not a crucified Savior. The Greek word used by Thomas, pisteuo, means to trust or believe confidently. Thomas's doubt wasn't casual. It was intense, earnest, sincere skepticism that longed deeply for truth. Thomas was not unique in his doubt. Even John the Baptist, the greatest prophet according to Jesus, Matthew 1 or 11:11, once quoted, "If Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah," in Matthew 11:2-3, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" C.S. Lewis wisely observed, "If ours is an examined faith, we should not be surprised when we occasionally experience doubt. Our very wrestling with doubt is an indication that we are spiritually alive." Doubt is not unique to Thomas. Abraham, known as the father of faith, doubted God's promise of a son due to old age and human limitations. Moses doubted his ability to lead Israel, questioning his competence and worthiness. David, the beloved king and psalmist, often expressed deep doubts about God's presence during times of distress. These biblical giants face doubt head on. And through their experiences, we see that doubt is an opportunity for God to manifest his faithfulness and reassures us of his promises. Well, 8 long days had passed between Thomas's doubt-filled declaration and his encounter with the risen Christ. Notice Jesus' remarkable patience and kindness. He didn't rebuke Thomas harshly, but offered peace. Peace be with you. This greeting was a powerful assurance, conveying not just an end of conflict, but showed wholeness. It showed restoration. It showed completeness. Peter, who knew firsthand about patience from Christ, later wrote, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9. Jesus patiently accommodates our doubts, gently leading us to believe. Jesus displayed extraordinary patience with Thomas's skepticism. This patience mirrors God's long-suffering nature revealed through Scripture. Look at his patience with Israel. Through generations of rebellion and doubt, consistently calling them back through prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jonah's story is another vivid illustration. Despite Jonah's stubborn disobedience, God patiently redirected him to follow his purpose. Even today, countless testimonies reflect God's gentle patience, guiding individuals through doubt toward deeper faith and devotion. Well, next, Jesus addressed Thomas personally, inviting him to physically verify his wounds. "Put your fingers here and see my hands." This personal encounter reveals the depth of Christ's empathy. Hebrews 4:15 underscores this beautifully. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." The Greek sympathizai means literally to suffer with. Jesus meets our doubts with divine sympathy, drawing us near to his heart. I love the writer Max Lucado, and he writes, "Christ met Thomas at the crossroads of his doubt and provided exactly what he needed. Jesus meets you precisely where you are." Jesus addressed Thomas's doubt personally and directly, offering exactly what Thomas needed for reassurance. Likewise, Jesus interacted intimately with a Samaritan woman, addressing her deepest struggles and transforming her life. Zacchaeus, marginalized by society, received a personal visit from Christ, leading to radical transformation and restitution. Peter, devastated by denial, experienced personal restoration through Christ's compassion and repeated affirmations of love. Jesus meets each of us uniquely. Each believer has a story to tell, and none of them are the same. We are mandated to share how Jesus spoke directly into our individual circumstances, dispelling doubts, and how he brought us into a saving faith. So who is your person? When you lead someone through a prayer of salvation, you will be reminded of the miraculous work Christ has done in your life. I pray that each of you have that opportunity to experience this amazing event if you haven't already. And lastly, Thomas's immediate response upon encountering Christ was profound worship. "My Lord and my God." Thomas recognized not just a resurrected Jesus, but God incarnate. This powerful confession reoriented his entire life. Augustine famously remarked, "Doubt is but another element of faith." In our wrestling, we often find deeper conviction. Thomas's skepticism, transformed by Christ's revelation, blossomed into an unshakable declaration of faith, prompting Jesus's powerful affirmation, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's a clear distinction between faith grounded in physical sight and the deeper trust that rests in his word alone. In addressing Thomas, he demanded tangible proof of the risen Christ. Jesus affirms that the truest faith is not a fallback for the skeptic, but the highest form of trust. An unwavering confidence in God's revelation, even when our eyes cannot verify it. This declaration elevates faith as a response to divine testimony, whereas empirical evidence satisfies our senses. Saving faith reaches beyond what can be touched or measured, leaning wholly on the reliability of Scripture and the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. As Jonathan Edwards noted, true faith is a spiritual grace whereby we receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. And likewise, C.S. Lewis reminds us that faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted, in spite of your changing moods. Underscoring that belief is sustained not by fluctuating feelings, but by the steadfast character of Christ. In practical terms, Jesus's beatitude invites every believer across the ages to embrace a faith that transcends doubt and circumstance. We are called to trust the gospel's promises, even when life's storms obscure our view, confident that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead works within us. May his blessing rest on all who, though they have not seen with their eyes, yet believe in their hearts and bear witness to the living Lord. Historically, Thomas's confession became a cornerstone of early creeds, bolstering the early church amidst persecution and doctrinal uncertainty. And this powerful transformation from doubt to declaration invites every believer to confidently affirm Christ's lordship and his deity into their lives today. Church tradition holds that after his transformative encounter with the risen Christ, Thomas took the gospel further than any other disciple. He traveled to India, where he preached the message of Jesus and established several Christian communities, especially along the Malabar coast. His bold witness ultimately led to his martyrdom. He was reportedly speared to death in Mylapore, near modern-day Chennai. But even in that distant land, Thomas's faith endured persecution and bore fruit. The man, once paralyzed by doubt, became a pillar of bold missionary conviction, proving that when God transforms a heart, it can shake nations. Well, I've got four takeaways for you today. Let me grab the first one here, excuse me. First takeaway for today is that doubt is a loving invitation to deepen our faith, Doubt isn't a barrier to faith, but it is a door God lovingly opens to draw us closer to himself when we cry out, "I believe, help my unbelief," Mark 9:24. We acknowledge our need for divine grace and invite Christ to meet us in our uncertainty. Far from being intimidated by our questions, God welcomes them as opportunities to reveal his character more fully. Each time we wrestle with doubt and seek answers in Scripture and prayer, the roots of our trust grow deeper and more resilient. In this way, doubt becomes a holy invitation for our faith to mature, reminding us that genuine belief often springs from the soil of honest questioning. The second takeaway for today is Jesus meets our doubts with patience and grace. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 145:8 reminds us that Jesus meets our doubts, not with rebuke, but with tender patience. In the face of our questions and uncertainties, He gently guides us through the fog of confusion toward the clear light of His truth. Like a patient teacher that welcomes every question, Christ listens to our struggles and offers wisdom far beyond our limited sight. When Thomas hesitated to trust without seeing, Jesus did not scold him, but invited him to touch his wounds and believe. In those moments of hesitation, we glimpse the heart of our Savior, one who values our honest wrestling over shallow acceptance. As we bring our doubts to Him in prayer, He responds with mercy, meeting us exactly where we are and leading us into deeper faith, because He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Our uncertainties become stepping stones toward a faith that rests securely in His unchanging character. The third one is a personal encounter with Christ dispels doubt. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Psalm 34:8 reminds us that coming into Christ's presence is the sure antidote to our deepest doubts. When we personally encounter Jesus in prayer, in worship, through the pages of Scripture, we discover firsthand the sweetness of His character. His living Word illuminates questions that once bewildered us, anchoring our hearts into truth rather than uncertainty. And the Holy Spirit then bears witness within us, transforming hesitancy, curiosity, into confident trust. Moments of personal encounter, when we sense His peace, or hear His voice, or feel His comforting nearness, those break the power of skepticism at its root. As we taste His goodness again and again, doubt loses its grip and praise arises in its place. In Christ alone, every question finds its answer, and every wavering heart finds a refuge that endures. Only Jesus Himself, His presence, His Word, and His Holy Spirit can fully resolve our deepest doubts. And lastly, faith goes beyond sight. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that our trust in Christ transcends the need for physical proof. When we cling to His promise, despite the absence of visible evidence, we unlock blessings of peace and joy that no circumstance can uproot. Faith becomes an anchor for our souls, holding us steady through life's storms by fixing our eyes on Christ's unchanging character. By trusting Him without tangible proof, we invite His transforming power to work deeply within us, producing perseverance and hope. These blessings come not from situations that have changed, but from a heart reshaped by divine grace and perspective. Then, as our confidence grows in what we hope for, we find courage. We find courage to face trials without unwavering expectancy. In this way, the richest fruits of our spiritual journey are reserved for those who believe in the unseen promises of God. So doubt does not disqualify you from faith. Mm-mm. Thomas's journey from skeptic to believer shows that our doubts, when surrendered at Christ's feet, become stepping stones to deeper intimacy with God. Like Thomas, may we each come to a place where our hearts echo profoundly, "My Lord and my God," transformed by the tender patience, personal encounter, and compelling truth of our risen Savior. Let's embrace the mystery, trust the Savior, and discover that our doubts can indeed lead us closer to Him. Check out this video. Church, are you ready to go on an adventure with God? We have to trust in the Lord to overcome our fears, our doubts, our weaknesses. Only then can God take us to a deeper faith than we've ever known and use us in ways we have never experienced. I pray that God is going to use our church in ways that this baptistry gets used more than ever before. Bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your patience and your compassion towards us in times of doubt. Help us to embrace your loving presence, even when questions cloud our minds. And Lord Jesus, meet us. Meet us in our uncertainties as you met Thomas, reassuring and strengthening our faith. May we always declare with confidence, "My Lord, my God." Guide us deeper into trust, empowering us to walk by faith and not by sight. Use us to share our faith with someone that needs that cross, to cross from doubt to belief, and speak through us. And give them that invitation that you have given every believer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would be here to greet you and lead you through that time of commitment. Or maybe there's something going on in your life right now that you need just somebody to pray with. Or maybe there's a praise going on in your life that you'd like to share with me. Whatever your need is, I invite you even to use the altar at this time as a time of prayer. We have two songs to close out our time together today. Let's use them to approach the Lord with all honesty. Let's stand and sing.